Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Kaylee stepping up to the mic to protect those that don't have a voice. Men.
That's right. I'm here for all men. Right?
Godspeed, friend.
Yeah.
You saw the sexism happening in front of your own eyes.
Well, actually, I didn't. This was relayed to me by a friend, a neighbor. Our kids play together. He's a strapping young man. His name is Jason Pease. He's a chiropractor. He's cool as hell. And he volunteered to be there at our kids' field trip.
Oh, a chaperone.
He was a chaperone to the aquarium. He sacrificed his time and his practice to go and be there. And ladies, not females, can't say that. Because guys would kill me.
it's true.
Yeah.
And I'll be right behind her.
Okay.
Hey, but you're learning.
Yeah. All right, I'm trying. So, he experienced a form of bias that offended him. So, when they got to the aquarium...
How many chaperones were talking about? How many kids?
I think there's about 30 kids.
Okay.
And there's 4 chaperones.
Cool. Okay.
He's the only male.
Okay.
Some of the teachers were chaperones, and they started dividing up the groups.
Hold on a second. Yep. If you could refer to us as men rather than males, I would
sorry,
be less
damn it,
thing.
Man. I'm just getting it all wrong. Are you offended?
No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. One guy, 3 ladies. And they started dividing up the kids, and one group had 8, one had 10. I don't know if the numbers are exactly accurate. And they gave him 3.
Clearly less.
A lot less.
Okay. Yeah,
he had 3, and one of the kids was feeling a little left out from his friends, so he asked to go and be part of a different group.
I don't know. You can make trades and stuff on these.
Because his buddy. Yeah.
I'll take Jimmy and Sam for Ann and Lucy.
Playground draft.
So now he's left with 2.
Okay.
And he's sitting there, he's just looking around, he's starting to get irritated, and he goes over to one of them, and he's like, I can handle more children in my group. I'm capable father.
So I get what they're doing here, because the way the aquarium is set up, no, I'm saying as far as like putting them, not what they're doing with him, but because their aquarium has different sections, and so instead of all 30 kids trying to pile through, they split them up into like smaller groups so they could each go and... It's definitely more manageable that way.
But they weren't divided equally.
Correct. Now, did they, how do I say this politely?
You can't.
No. So some kids may be need a little more hands-on and one-on-one attention. So was he perhaps given students that one student actually is more like having 3 students?
No.
That makes sense?
No, that was not what was relayed to me. And
is that implied, though? Like, is that the undercurrent? I think that the friend is probably feeling is that dad could probably handle 2 or 3 while women can handle 5 or 6.
No,
is the complaint, right?
Yeah, that's how he's feeling.
His assumption is accurate. I mean, I feel like they are not giving him due credit and thinking that he won't be as good as a chaperone because he's a man. I mean, if I were him, that's the conclusion I would come to.
That's what he started to conclude.
So I totally agree. It feels very like sexist at the outset, but I do wonder, has he chaperoned before and were the other chaperones repeat chaperones?
Yeah, he didn't He didn't specify that. I don't know that he's ever chaperoned. He didn't tell me that. But he, you know, is a father of two, and one of his kids, he had one of his kids.
So they really gave him one kid.
It's unfair, but I do wonder if it's because they maybe aren't used to him or don't know his chaperone style, and the other ones are repeat, so they know what they can handle, maybe.
But he did approach them and say, hey, look, I just want to let you know I'm capable, and if you guys need a break, I could take more than just my own kid.
Yeah, because it was really, at first, he's like, I'm going to ignore it, and then it's... And then once they took one of his other kids, and because he wanted to be with a friend, he was like, I got to say something because this is really starting to get on my nerves.
I don't blame him. I would too.
I can handle more kids. You got 8 over there, 10 over there, 11 over there. And so he is like, all right, fine. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. You can handle what you got. And he's just like, all right. So everyone was going to the dolphin show. And he's like, kids. He knew somebody who worked at the aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, this is how I'm going to play.
Okay.
So he's like, they want to go off to watch the dolphin show? Fine. How about if I just get us a behind-the-scenes look?
Okay.
So now all the kids will want to be with him next time.
Exactly.
That's smart.
So I got to be honest with you, 100%, my attitude would have been relief. If I was the dad that just got two and one was mine.
You're part of the problem.
Maybe. I'm thinking, man, yeah, I would have been like, I get credit for being there, okay? I don't have as much responsibility as the other parents. I'm not thinking sexism at all. I'm thinking straight up, that's great.
I would have been offended but relieved at the same time. It would have been both of me. Like, I would have felt it, but I wouldn't have said anything.
Maybe it's that's fine. What I would have been also. Tell me he's got a good point.
All right, I will.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
All right, Kristen, you can attach to this here. This email here and that. They are trying to have a baby, right? But it is costing a lot of money. And one of the parents is like, maybe because of finances, we should just stop this journey right now. And I don't think they're exactly sure on how to even approach the conversation. Mo here has the email.
My wife and I plan to be parents and start a family. But no matter what we did, we couldn't get pregnant. About 2 years into our marriage, we really made it our full-time job. As it turns out, going the natural route isn't going to work for us. We were encouraged to try fertility treatments if we ever wanted this to happen. My wife wants to be a mom more than anything, and I want that for her. For the past year, we've seen a fertility specialist and explored all avenues to get pregnant. After a year, I'm accepting that it might just be the two of us, and I'm perfectly content if that's the case. To date, I have spent $15,000 on fertility, and I'm not willing to continue to spend.
To date, we have spent $15,000 on fertility.
He wrote I.
I know he did. Mm-hmm. I'm letting him know he miswrote.
I thought it was me.
No, it's definitely him.
I got you. We are not made of money, and I can't keep spending money we don't have on a pipe dream.
There's your way. There is your way. We don't have on a pipe dream.
We are not made of money, and I can't keep spending money we don't have on a pipe dream. He's confusing his eyes with we's. I just must, yeah.
She wants to try until we have nothing. He said we that time.
Mm-hmm.
That is not logical, and we will be living a miserable paycheck-to-paycheck existence. We already didn't have that $15,000 we spent that we are currently trying to pay off. Please help me convince my wife that this isn't feasible and it's time to accept the fact that maybe this won't happen for us.
Oh.
And if you get past the eyes and the whees,
yeah,
you know, that's legit.
No, it is legit. And for those that are members of the TTC Club, and that is the Trying to Conceive Club, for those that don't know, in a nutshell, my husband and I were not able to conceive on our own. We needed to get the assistance of a fertility specialist. And had to ultimately do not one but two rounds of IVF. Not covered by insurance at all. The cost of the meds, the cost of the surgeries, it is astronomical for those that have to seek medical assistance to have children. It is a miracle that these scientific advancements are out there and that you can do this, but you have to be, it sucks because I recognize how fortunate Bart and I are in our financial situation that we could afford to go the route of two rounds of IVF because there are a lot of families like this one right here that is just not feasible. And you are going to find yourself in an insane amount of debt trying to have a child, trying to fulfill your dream. So while I do agree that, you know, he's got a point, how can you just give up your dream of having a baby because you don't have the money? And it is, it's an impossible situation. And it's not one you can tell her to do, because as the mother in this situation, the pull and the desire and the need and the want to have that baby and all the emotional turmoil you're going through and the mental turmoil because your body is not doing what your body essentially was built to do. And it's such a mind F along the a mind F on top of a emotional roller coaster on top of like the physical toll it takes on your body to put yourself through all that. So this is not a conversation you have with her that's like, maybe it's time to accept the fact that this won't happen for us. Maybe it's time to hit pause and to reevaluate finances and your game plan. But you can't rip the rug out from under her and be like, this isn't going to happen for us.
So what would you suggest, like, he approach her and say, what is, like, how do you say this? Like, what is the most that we can spend here financially? Can we look at our finances and say, okay, at $30,000, we've already gone way past what we can really afford?
It seems they're already past that with the $15,000 they've spent.
I think I'm using that as an example. Okay, so does he come to the table with a certain amount and then they debate it back and forth? Or how do you even approach that? And if she says, there is no amount, there is no amount, then what do you do?
Then you're at a stalemate. I know. And it's like, where is the compromise there? And I feel like he's an equal partner in this, as is she, which makes it super complicated. But you have to sit down. It's so hard to put a price on life.
Yeah. How could, if you were in this situation and it was you and Bart, what could he have said, or how could he have approached it with you being open-minded about it?
I wouldn't have been.
No.
No.
There's nothing he could have said.
That's just like my knee-jerk reaction as far as like my gut reaction. I would have gone so into debt to bring Jimmy into the world.
I think that says it all. I mean, if it's not feasible, it's not feasible. But like you said, you can't put a price on life. I genuinely don't know. If I'm in his shoes, I know it's easier said than done, but I would just try to come up with a plan and find a way.
No way to open up dialogue at all, you don't think?
It sucks. And it's so, no, I mean, I do think, and to go through something like this together, you have to have open dialogue. This was one of the areas, like, Bart and going through this was such a test, but made us so much closer. Like, my husband and I bonded tremendously going through this. And that's not the case with all partners. And it actually can test you to the point of breaking you up. And I understand that for us, that was not the case, thank God. So I do think you need to express your concerns and try to find some kind of middle ground. And as far as like when it comes to coming up with unique ideas and ways of finding money to do this, I don't have that information. So I would reach out to friends and even like the fertility clinic and ask for advice if there is any type of financial assistance out there to achieve your dream of having a baby. I'm not knowledgeable in that area. So, but I'm sorry for all of it. I'm sorry for the strain it's putting on your pocketbooks and for the strain it's putting on your heart.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
If you're hoping to see Miley Cyrus perform her latest tracks live, don't get your hopes up. During an interview with British Vogue, Miley said she's not sure if she can see herself doing tours, period. She said, "Do I want to live my life for anyone else's pleasure or fulfillment other than my own?" Miley said she'd rather perform for her friends and loved ones rather than a bunch of strangers. She says there's no connection, no safety. And even though she's in front of 100,000 people, it feels really isolating. This is interesting because like a couple of weeks ago, she was at a show in Mexico and she actually like stopped
the entire show to be like, you know what, I'm feeling really anxious, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And she said that looking out into the crowd actually helped her. So it's kind of weird that she's like going back on those statements, because that caught a lot of headlines a couple weeks ago when it came out.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, she's protecting herself, obviously, and I don't know if it's mental health or whatever, ever, but God, there are so many people in that audience that appreciate the connection they have with her, right? Being there on that, with that experience. I think I told you guys a couple of weeks ago when my fiance took her daughter to Taylor Swift. That is a memory that they will always have together, right? So I can't help but think of all the moms and daughters that won't have that experience that really love Miley. But at the end of the day, Miley's got to take care of Miley.
Yeah, of course.
As somebody who has social anxiety and performs, it's like it doesn't go away. Like, it's literally something that you just have to conquer, and you just have to just do it, because I don't think you ever truly feel comfortable as a performer when you have social anxiety.
So when you have that anxiety, does it stop once your feet hit the stage, or are you anxious in the days and weeks leading up, and then you're anxious the entire time you're on stage? This is really interesting to me.
For me, it's literally every second up until I'm actually on the stage. Like, literally right before my show starts, even to this day with all of the shows I've done, like, seconds before my show, I always have a thought of, like, if I just ran away, like, nobody will ever know. Maybe I'll just never come back. But once I actually get out there, it completely changes.
And what's the fear that's bringing on the anxiety? That you're going to let people down, they're not going to have a good time, or what is it?
Just doubt. It's like self-doubt. When you really see a crowd of people in a sold-out place that all came to see you and spent this money, you're like, can I even really perform to where this is worth it? Can I still do it? Am I still funny? You just start questioning yourself.
All right, so if you really want to help Mo out here the next time he has, next time you have a show, just sell 4 seats. You can handle that.
Yeah, I could do 4.
Yeah, you don't have to be that anxious over 4, but you got 150.
Yeah, it's a little different.
I can understand why you're nervous.
Exactly. I crushed 4, though.
Okay, today the Burt Show members aren't just hosts. No, we are now the Real Housewives of Studio K. So last week, the Real Housewives of Atlanta taglines got released, and it got us thinking, what would ours sound like?
My roots are in Atlanta, but my branches are worldwide.
Forget the gaslight. I'm taking the spotlight.
My past may be checkered, but my future is solid gold.
So bad. So bad. You watch all these, though.
I used to. I haven't in years.
No.
I gave up on them.
Well, it's because you have a son now in your life as Meanie.
Well, now that you put it that way, I mean, I couldn't even begin to tell you, because I was Abby diehard. Real Housewives of Atlanta, Jersey, New York, Beverly Hills, OC. I watched all of them religiously. But a couple of years ago, the watching these women treat each other so poorly, and like the way they were just so catty and so mean, I could, like, it literally, it made me feel bad to watch the episodes. And I'm like,
right,
I'm going to start watching. I prefer to watch murder stories than I do the Housewives.
Yeah. So murder stories, fine with, but yes. Real Housewives makes you feel icky.
Dateline, good. Housewives, bad.
All right, sidebar, because I can already see the complaints coming in. That was a joke. If you don't have kids, your life has meaning.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
No, I need the Real Housewives to fill the void.
Yes.
So we thought it'd be really funny if we all came up with our own taglines to have like a Real Housewives of the Burt Show moment.
So are we going to do the same format where we all go under the same music?
Oh, wait. 100%.
But you have to stand up, because you have to do your pose. Oh, and you're holding like, you're either holding your diamond or you're holding your peach if you're from Atlanta, or your
caffeine.
Yeah. For us, it's coffee cups.
Yes. There you go.
And we found the perfect coffee music for this.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Let the beat drop.
Okay, sounds this works.
So that's when we. City. That's when the lines start.
Uh-huh.
When the beat drops.
Yep.
Okay. So we're gonna go around the horn. We're gonna have Abby go first, because I have multiples.
You have multiples. Right. Should you go last?
I don't know. I got really into this.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Are we keeping this music, or are we
just
starting?
Yeah, just keep going.
Okay.
Go for it.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing more open than my smiles are my DMs.
Ooh.
May I?
Yes.
Don't call me short, call me fun size. Besides, short is the new sexy.
I like it.
Why are you holding it?
We need some product placement here. All right,
Lo,
go.
Lo, me?
You gotta stand up. Yep. It's time to stand.
I can't reach the mic if I don't. All right.
Bragger.
I may not always make a party out of life, but when I do, I am always the life of the party.
Yep. We got a show here. Right. How many you got?
I got.
All right, Cassie, you go.
All right.
Okay.
I forge my own path, and if you can't handle the curves, then get off the highway.
Don't you laugh. I endorsed your short thin one.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the whole format, the show itself.
I don't do fake unless it's my tan. I like dogs more than people because most people are dogs.
You bet.
I prefer quality over quantity with my shoes and my friends.
I think we got a real show in the making.
Bravo if you're listening, we're your next cast. Okay, a controversial decision in the latest Indiana Jones movie has Harrison Ford fighting back against some criticism. I'll tell you more on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
I love that so much. Thank you.
Welcome. All for you, Kristen.
That show is so, not ours, but maybe ours also. That show is damn so cheesy, man.
The Burt Show.
I was just chuckling to myself for a second here, thinking about the weekend where I've been teaching my 15-year-old how to drive a car, right? And he's probably driven all of five times. And now he's already, as he's driving, calling people out for being jerks on the way they're driving.
As he should.
I'm like, dude, you've been driving five times. Come on, man.
Really? Oh, what are they doing? A-hole! That's all it takes. Man,
right? All right, so Bianca here was in a tight spot on Friday because her husband has a dream, and she was about to squash it because his idea and his dream are stupid.
But she won't tell us a stupid dream.
No, it's that stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, Bianca.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so for those that didn't hear on Friday, tell them sort of this uncomfortable position you have been put in by your husband.
Yeah, so my husband and I, we've been together 4 or 5 years, and everything's going great. Relationship is going great. We have my mother-in-law, father-in-law are awesome. Here's the deal. My husband has a business idea that he's gung-ho over. It's like a dream of his to get it started, but he needs some funding. So he wants to ask my parents, who he kind of knows has a little bit of savings, and, you know, they're not rich or anything, but they do save really well. So he wants to ask them for an investment. I think it's a horrible idea. I do not believe in the product. I feel horrible as his wife not to support him, but I don't want him to ask my parents for this money. I don't think it's going to end well.
Okay. And you're sure that this business idea is just not going to fly at all?
You guys, it is not going to fly. I just have this intuition. It's just a bad idea. I've seen it before. It's like it's not an invention product. It's a service. And I don't think the community needs it. So.
Now I really want to know what it is.
All right.
All
right.
I hate that I can't say what
it's
it is.
It's okay. So either way, you're just really put in this tough spot because you don't want to tell him that his idea is stupid, although maybe you should. But you really don't want to go to your parents when you don't have confidence in this at all. So did he corner you this weekend, or did you approach him, and how did you handle it, and how did he react?
Well, like you said, it's not about the stupid idea thing. I just don't want him to approach my parents. So I did approach him this weekend. I tried to really encourage him, please don't contact my parents. I know he was going to. I just tried to convince him not to. I really said business and family should be separate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he disagreed completely.
I bet.
He said, you know what, Bianca, I'm still going to ask. I'm so sorry. They love me, and I think it's going to go fine. So he said, it's my only shot to make this dream come true, so I'm just going to do it.
That's a party foul right there. That's a party foul. Here you are because, you're telling him, look, I'm just not really comfortable with going to the parents. And he's like, really, essentially what he's saying is, I don't care. I'm going to him anyway.
No, you get right of say there because your parents.
Right.
Right? Doesn't the default fall on her?
Yeah, yes. So 100%. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm going to your parents anyway.
that's not it.
That ain't cool.
Well, I do know a family where they like the daughter-in-law better than they do their own son.
Yeah, it goes both ways, sure. In a lot of families, probably. Go ahead, anyway.
No, he wants to leave it up to the parents. So he's like, at least I can ask, you know, and see what they say. So I just was out. I just couldn't say anymore. So he wanted to approach them. I actually went to my parents' house before he could get to them. And I told him what was going to happen, told them the invention, everything, all the details. And I said, you know, it's up to you guys, but I really don't think this is a good idea. But here's the thing. My dad loved the idea.
Oh, come on.
No.
Come on, really?
Oh, my God. My dad, my pop, he loved it. But on the other side, my mom hated it like me. So she's kind of like on my side. Dad is now on my husband's side. Now we're having this probable feud approaching. So I'm like, oh, I knew it. I knew something really was going to be bad. You know, it's not going to go well, you know, like with this question. So it's going to be my mom saying no, my dad saying yes. And then what do we do now?
So not only are you a house divided, but they are a house divided. Mm-hmm. And your husband has inadvertently caused strife in your parents' home.
Yes.
Isn't this a decision that both parents have to agree on in order for this to go? Like, I feel like you can lean on mom's no as a way of saying, well, if they're not both in, then we can't do this.
So how do they usually handle their finances? Are their finances together? Does he keep his separate? Does he make the final decisions? Because this really could be pretty explosive with them.
I know. They both kind of have joint accounts, and they kind of, you know, do as they please. They don't really, like, unless it's a big ticket item, they don't really need to tell each other. So this would be like a huge, you know, need to be unanimous. You know, it's too much money to just have dad spend it, you know.
So Bianca, mom's gonna, would this strategy work? So could you go back to your husband and say, like, hey, I just want to let you know that my dad's on board, but my mom really isn't. She's a little bit more financially conservative. So it's really creating a lot of tension between the two of them. Because maybe if he knows that, he would pull the request.
I think that's good. And that's true. It's actually the truth. My mom is so financially savvy. She is not for this. And she would be so upset, so mean. Like, she's moody. And this would make her on the mean side all the time if they're down and out with money. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we don't pull this truth card out much on the Burt Show, but every now and then it works. And this one might be just the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. Mom is definitely the person to go to as far as the excuse, you know, the reason why we don't.
All right. Have the convo with them and then hit us back and let us know, okay?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thanks, guys. I do appreciate it.
You are welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kind of dying. Still don't know what that is, what that business is.
I'm getting the sense that maybe it's like a niche product that only men would appreciate, because so far her dad and him both think it's a great idea, but she and her mom are like,
right.
Nope.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, so if you have won a court case or won a court case recently, you know how that intoxicating win feel can be, but you got to keep it to yourself. Nuh-uh. No, you don't.
We want you to celebrate that court case win with us, because for the first time, I had a friend who had to go to court. And she, I'm not going to go into all the juicy details about it, but she had charges filed against her. And ultimately, it was basically, we'll just say self-defense, found her not guilty, and she got to walk. But listening to her at dinner and describe, like, it was a jury trial. They had to sit there and go through jury selection and pick six jurors. And then after that, she took the stand. He took the stand. Two other people took the stand. So they're doing like testimony, witness testimony. And then ultimately the ruling, the verdict comes out and she is found not guilty. So she is not going to have to spend any time behind bars. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because her ex is a D-bag. Anyway, so I wanted to, like, it was just so fascinating sitting there and listening to her detail it. And I, you know, I wish I could have been there in court with her as support, but obviously, you know, I got a job and a kid, so I wasn't able to be there. So I wanted you to celebrate your court case win with us. 1-855-BIRCHOW, 855-237-8746. You went to court and you came out victorious, and you want to shout it from the rooftops, because that's exactly what Ed Sheeran did when he just won his court case against Marvin Gaye's family for stealing Let's Get It On into Thinking Out Loud.
I'm obviously very happy with the outcome of the case, and it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all. But at the same time, I'm unbelievably frustrated that baseless claims like this are allowed to go to court at all. We've spent the last 8 years talking about two songs with dramatically different lyrics, melodies, and four chords, which are also different and used by songwriters every day all over the world. These chords are common building blocks, which were used to create music long before Let's Get It On was written, and will be used to make music long after we are all gone.
Now, when we were rehashing this over appetizers and wine, we were not as eloquent and had a lot more profanities, but
and he doesn't sound let me give the phone number out again also, 1-855-BIRCHOW. He was very, I think, exhausted by the time he won that court case. And I think he was very reserved also, because I think probably behind closed doors, he was probably cracking some champagne and high-fiving his lawyers and stuff like that. But what most people don't, I don't think, understand if you've never gone to court is how much of a mind drain it's on your mind all the time. And his court case, I think, went back to 2016 or 2017.
And my friends, too, because of the pandemic, it kept getting postponed and kept getting postponed. So you're just drawing it out and drawing it out and drawing it out. But they finally had their day in court, and she was victorious.
So today is the day you get to tell the world about your win. Good morning, Chastity.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, you won a case.
Yes, I won a case against the DNR, which DNR kind of like top tier. They're kind of the Texas Rangers around here anyways. But I went down a path I thought was drivable. It wasn't. I got stuck. I got someone to come and get me out, but DNR tried to give me a ticket for going down a footpath is what they call them. But I took pictures of all the other footpaths that had signs, and I took a picture of the one that I went down. It didn't have a sign. And the lady at the court, she's like, I have never had the opportunity to throw out a ticket from DNR before. She said, so congratulations, you're the first one.
So for those that are in your car and you can't Google it, because we were all in here doing it, DNR is Department of Natural Resources Division. So you were on a path, and then some DNR policeman comes up and gives you a ticket for walking?
No, because I drove down what is considered a footpath.
Oh, okay. Got you.
They're just for walking, and I didn't realize that because it looked like other people had driven down it, and there was no signs or no nothing. But he was just mean about the whole situation and everything, so it kind of made me smug to be able to walk out.
That feels good. Yep, that feels good. All right, here is Brooke. Good morning, Brooke. You were on the Burt Show.
Hi, long time listener.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate you.
Celebrate your court case victory.
Okay, so this is a wild one. When I was 20, I joined the Army, and my dad had me sign a document stating that if I died while I was in the Army, my husband at the time would not be able to evict him from my property, which he was going to be allowed to live on. And I thought, like, okay, this is ridiculous, but fine, I get it. Things happen. So I signed the document. And He ripped the document signature page off and put it on a deed transfer paperwork and illegally transferred ownership of my entire property to himself. He convinced the notary to notarize it without me being there and had it filed. And then he took out a mortgage on the property and didn't pay it. Damn. And then he died. And I didn't find any of this out until after he died. And I had to go to court against his estate, I guess, my deceased dad, to win my own land back and convince the judge that I never gave my dad all of my property.
Wow.
So you won a court case against your dead dad?
Yes.
Congratulations. Wow.
Congratulations.
I think.
Yeah. A, I'm sorry for your loss. B, I'm glad you won the court case.
Yeah. And you got your land back.
Right. Seriously.
I'm sad my dad is dead, but also furious to find out that he stole my land.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Mix of emotion.
At some point, you guys are going to be soul to soul, and that's going to be one pay-per-view I'd like to see.
This is The Burt Show.
It was the great Twitter philosopher Mary Ferry Bowberry.
I love her Twitter handle.
That asked the question, can we replace the perfect attendance award with kind kids awards already? Coming to school when you're sick or need a mental break doesn't deserve applause. Including others, sharing a lunch with some hungry kids and not bullying others absolutely deserves recognition. And for that, the Burt Show's Kindness Awards was launched.
All right, so if you want to nominate a kid who you feel deserves a Burt Show Kindness Award, all you have to do is call up our voice line, 404-954-1360. Leave us a voicemail, leave us a voice memo acknowledging that kid, why they deserve a kindness award, and we will play it later this week on the show.
Okay, once again, it's 404-954-1360 to nominate a kid, or you can go to theburtshow.com. All right, so an interesting debate started over the weekend regarding some parents and their teen and charging the teen for rent and food. And people were really split on this.
Well, and that's what's going to happen when you have 860,000 followers on TikTok. You post a video like this, it's going to get a little bit of a reaction, right?
I think we're going to be a house divided in here also.
All right, we'll see. So two Texas parents have sparked this debate after revealing that they are charging their 19-year-old daughter rent for living in their house after having just graduated from high school. So it's Cody and Erica Archie. Again, they have a pretty substantial following on TikTok of 860,000. And this is the video that they posted.
All right, so y'all tell us, do you make your graduated high school student pay rent in your house if they aren't going to college yet? Tell us what you think.
Well, yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Because my thought is, and our thought together is, that since Fred has graduated a couple weeks ago, I told her, and I have been telling her for the last couple of months, that, hey, June the 1st, your rent's due if you're going to continue to live here.
I thought that was a little harsh. I mean, maybe a little leeway.
$200 a month is plenty cheap to live like a grub in your parents' house.
So $200 a month, which is due June 1st, right after she graduates, also with an option for groceries. So if she would continue, if she wants to continue to eat her parents' groceries, it's going to be $300 a month. And the comments were pretty split. A lot of people were saying, a definite no for me. I know it's rare, but I will forever help my kids, no matter the age. Somebody else said, for me, it's a no. My bills were here before them and will be there after them. Now, they can pick up some TP or supplies time to time, but no for me. Somebody else wrote, we didn't, but we were allowing him a safe place to save every penny before he was launched into this cruel world. Now, some people had another idea, which is they were like, collect the rent, then give it back to her once she moves out. So that $200 or $300 she pays, keep that. And then when she does go and find a place, give her all that money back that she gave you, as in like an attempt for savings to put like, you know, a down payment on a whatever you have to do when you rent an apartment and stuff like that.
It's a nice departing gift. hey, thanks for leaving. Here's the cash you gave us.
Yes, pretty much. And then there are also plenty of people saying that it's a great lesson. I told my 17-year-old I cannot wait till she has to buy her own groceries. She picks everything apart and wastes so much food. I mean, she literally just graduated. I mean, she like just graduated. I would have to give a little more grace than immediately starting to charge my kid, you know, $200 to stay in my house.
I want
to
hear where you guys stand on this before I come strong.
So that's going to be a no from me.
Okay.
That's a no, dog.
All right. So how long is your grace period?
It's open-ended.
Open-ended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indefinite.
It's okay. Indefinite.
All right.
My dad had a very strict rule in my home that if you graduated and you didn't either get a job or go back to school, then you pretty much was paying rent in the house. Now, he didn't do it with me because I moved out and my second sister moved out. But my third sister stayed and she's still there and he collects from her, but he saves half of it. So he kind of goes with that strategy of like giving it to her when she leaves. He doesn't keep all of it, but he does keep half of it and she has to pay. So if it were me, I probably would go with what my dad has taught me, but I would have like a 6-month grace period before I started charging you anything.
Yeah, I think for me, it just depends on what the parent's why is, because I can totally see from like a responsibility standpoint that it's like, okay, you're an adult now. This is just what adults do. You pay for housing. But it does seem a little harsh that she literally just graduated high school and it's like, okay, now you got to start coughing up some cash. Like, what is her plan? Is she going to college? Is it just going to be for a few months? Or is this sort of an incentive for them to be like, okay, well, you can't just stay here for free. So you got to do something. You know what I mean? So for me, I think it just depends on the why. Like, what lesson are they trying to teach her by asking her for rent?
It's a steal, $200 a month. There are kids out there who go to work to help pay their rent currently and they're underage. I don't have any issue with this. I probably wouldn't do it. I'd probably do the thing that Kristen suggested, like keep the money and then help put it towards an apartment deposit in the future. But I mean, when I was 18, my dad's like, you can start paying rent once you graduate. For me, it was college. But he's like, you can move back here, but you can pay to live here. And I have no issue with that. You're an adult and a lot of people don't have a parental safety net. So if you didn't have that safety net, you'd have to be paying thousands of dollars.
I am
Jimmy
so
can suckle off this teat for as long as he wants.
Save that.
Do not say that.
Save
that.
Cass, I got to tell you, I am so pleasantly surprised by your answer. I thought you and I were going to have a good fight today.
So put him up over here. Put him up.
I would not say it's indefinite. I do think that as soon as they graduate, starting to charge them is too harsh.
Because I'll be honest, did high school prepare you guys for the real life?
No.
Yeah, of course.
I had a job. No, not real life, but yeah. I had a job starting at like the age of 15.
Yeah, so did I. So I would say
I
so, yes.
That.
I did too. But
let me just make my point here in that I wouldn't say right at graduation, but you got 4 to 6 weeks and that's it. And then I would probably do the exact same thing. So you got a month to find a job. Because you're not just going to sit around. And the very first, tell me the very first piece of feedback again, this first quote.
What do you mean?
It was the first post after that when they were giving their opinion was, I'm going to provide for my kid always.
Yeah. A definite no for me. I know it's rare, but I will forever help my kids no matter the age.
Okay, help my kids no matter what the age. So my definition of helping my kids doesn't always mean giving them what they want. My definition of helping my kids also means I would be helping them to learn their work ethic and helping them understand that there are no freebies, man. In the real world out there, you got to pay for rent. So I am helping establish their work ethic by saying, you got 4 weeks to get your ass a job before you got to start paying rent and you got to start paying for food. I think that is helping as a parent also.
I would encourage, yes, the job for sure. You're not going to just stay there and not have a job. But that job, that I want you to save that money so you can get a place of your own. I don't expect you to pay me. I expect you to have a job if you're not going to school, but I don't expect you to pay me rent.
I wonder if this is where we're different, because what happens if they don't pay? If they don't pay rent, they're staying. I'm not going to kick them out the house or anything like that or put financial sanctions on them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do the same?
I couldn't see a world where I kick my kid out. Yeah.
So then we're all on the same page.
So, I mean, I think I'd be pretty harsh about it, but if he didn't have anything else lined up, I don't think I could do that.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. So you guys all agree with me. You're just saying it in a different way.
Yeah, I don't think I could kick him out of the house. I don't.
This is The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
So there's this new editing tactic in Hollywood that might be just as controversial, if not more, than AI, and it's in the new Indiana Jones movie. So some news outlets have criticized this new thing in post-production that they can do where you can make an actor look younger. You can de-age them, if you will. And one of the latest films to use it is the most recent Indiana Jones film, and there's this flashback scene where they dial back Harrison Ford's age to make him look about 35 years younger. There's a couple opinion pieces that have come out saying, why can't Hollywood just accept that people get older and work with it?
So that would make him look like around 75?
Yeah, just about. A couple, give or take a couple
He's
of years.
80.
but Harrison's like, if it makes sense for the story, yeah. We have the technology to make people look younger, because Lucasfilm has like decades and decades of Harrison Ford's face, and you can make it look somewhat accurate, like why would we not do it if it makes sense for the story?
Yeah, if there's a flashback scene in the movie of the character, totally on board. If the entire movie is going to be like Harrison Ford 35 plus years ago, then you're screwing another actor out of that role by hiring an 80-year-old, but making him look like he's 45.
Okay, so that's the argument.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, instead, hire a 45-year-old instead of the 80-year-old. But if it's a flashback, like in the Indiana Jones movies, then I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, I wish I could do that in real life, man.
Could you do that on our YouTube feed right now?
No, I mean in real life. I'd love to wake up looking like I was 30 right now.
I'd sign up.
Yeah, so far, there are no films that I know of that have used this for, like, the entire film. I'm sure a lot of like Real Housewives are wondering how they can get their hands on this technology. But other films that have used this are Gemini Man with Will Smith, where there was like a scene where he was being chased by a younger version of himself.
And it was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it wasn't a very, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good at all.
I think there's been enough technological advances that it would be decent now.
Yeah, this was in 2019. Mm-hmm. So about 4 years, a lot has changed. But also, I mean, to be fair, they have so much footage of Harrison that I feel like it was a little bit more accurate. Mm-hmm. From just the small snippet that I saw in the trailer, it didn't look that bad. I mean, you can definitely tell that there's like something up with his face, but it wasn't like wildly inaccurate. And there's also a scene in Spider-Man No Way Home where this technology is used as well. Okay, Adidas just announced where they will donate the money from Yeezy sales. They said that there will be multiple organizations where they donate, but the two that they've announced will represent the people who were impacted by Kanye West's actions, specifically where he said that George Floyd's death was caused by fentanyl and not by the actions of police officer Derek Chauvin. The first is a nonprofit started by George Floyd's brother called the Philanese and Keita Floyd Institute for Social Change. And the second is the Anti-Defamation League, which fights against hate crimes and anti-Semitism. Those are for statements that Kanye has made both publicly and privately. One Adidas employee and one former exec reported hearing Kanye saying that skinheads and Nazis were his greatest inspiration. Yes. Kanye, per his contract, will still receive a cut from the sales. But if you do feel a little bit better about it from knowing that they're going to donate some of the proceeds, the sales are going to start next week on May 31st.
I'm just curious, where is Kanye making his money now?
Royalties, maybe?
I would imagine so. Yeah, I don't have a clue.
Stuff that he's done before, right? Yeah. Those checks are still coming in, but it's nothing like it has been the last couple of years.
No, I would imagine he's seen a very, very big decline.
He has to have other business dealings, though. I'm sure that we are completely, like, unaware of.
I'm sure, but if you're, like, doing business and you see he's part of any kind of deal, that's a radioactive name right now. I'd bail immediately.
I would, too.
Well, in the EBAs that we did in 6 a.m., I did see that the same architect that made Beyonce and Jay-Z's brand new home, the $200 million sale, now, like, the most expensive home in California, that same architect is working on Kanye's home in California. So he's got money somewhere, unless he's just like really, 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 really in the red. Okay, it looks like the secret might be out on Khloe Kardashian's son's name. Ooh, she's been keeping it under wraps because they're the Kardashians and they need you to tune into their reality show. They're like, if you want to know what it is, tune into the Kardashians Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on Hulu. But there's been a couple of reports that it was actually that she named her son Tatum Robert. Robert is her father's name, but we knew it was going to be a T name to go with the whole, like,
Tristan,
yeah. And it looks like it might have been confirmed by Khloe's best friend. So Khloe posted a photo of her and her son on Instagram, and her best friend commented, "Go Tate! which just shows that it might be a little bit more accurate.
That's his name. Or it's a smokescreen.
Oh.
I don't trust anything from any of them.
You shouldn't.
Why do I feel like they would just change the name just to keep things interesting, mm-hmm. to get those ratings up?
They would.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
This is The Bird Show.
To homeschool or not to homeschool? That is the question.
Yeah, I never thought I would be this person, ever. I went to public school, my husband went to public school, my kids were going to go to public school, that's just how it was going to be. And lately, we've been thinking about homeschooling, and I'm surprised at myself, but I would love to know. I know it's not easy, and I know that teachers undergo a lot of education to do their profession. I know there's curriculums you can follow, but I'd love to know from people who homeschool or people who have been homeschooled what their experience is. Because I don't want to jack up my kid, but if I'm being honest, when I look at sending my kid to public school, it makes me very, very nervous these days. And we don't have the budget for private school. That's a lot of money. And I'm not sure that's much safer. And I'm not talking about the quality of education. I wanted my kid to go to public school because I wanted her and him to be around a diversity of thought, a diversity of people, different cultural backgrounds. I think I got a lot out of going to public school, but I just don't feel safe sending my kids to school anymore.
So, I mean, like literally like bullying, and you're talking about like you don't know who's going to break into the jail. That's how I still think about school. Who's going to, you know, if it's safety is going to be a real concern there with guns.
Just like the active shooter drills that they have to do, and just I feel like we're seeing, and maybe it's just because it's so forward in the news, but the shootings are increasing and I'm just seeing more and more awful news coming out, and I don't want to be in a position where I'm sitting there and it's my kid and I was like, I could have homeschooled them and still expose them to the world in other ways. I know there are group activities you can do. You can still sign them up for different sports. So there are ways that they can meet other kids and do stuff. And bullying. I've just seen both close to me and listening to other friends, it getting really intense on a level where I was bullied a little bit, but nothing like this. I mean, the vitriol and the hatred some of these kids have for other kids. And I'm like, I don't want my kids exposed to that kind of nastiness until they're adults who can handle it better.
Yeah, just for the bullying point here for a second, for those of you that don't have kids that are in school, the bullying is so different now than it was when we were in school, because it's not hand-to-hand combat anymore. It's not yelling at each other or making faces, although that is part of it. Now there's social media bullying, which is a completely different thing made up by sophisticated kids that are way ahead of parents and administrators when it comes to technology, and their bullying can't be traced in a lot of cases. So it's a completely different level, and I totally feel you.
And the cases I've personally had contact with, the administration won't do anything. And so I'm like, I feel like I'm sending my kid into this, and I know you can't protect them from everything. I totally get that. But I do think there are steps you can take to mitigate what they experience and to delay certain things until they're older and they have tools to deal with it. Adults bully each other as well. They act immature, but you can deal with it better. But that and the shootings, and I'm just like, this does not feel like a safe environment. When my daughter was so excited to go to preschool, she wants to go, and my husband's like, what do we have to get first? Mm-hmm. And she's like, crayons. And in my head, the first thing that came to mind was bulletproof backpack. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is not the first thought that I should have when I'm talking about sending my kid to school.
Sure. Well, the way you feel is the way you feel. I'm so ignorant in this area, though. I think back in the day, I used to feel like, what an arrogant thought that as a parent, I just think that I could just start teaching my kids when there are people that go to school for it for years and years and years and years and years. So is there a certification you have to get in order to teach your own kids, or is there a curriculum online? How does it even work?
So I'll be honest, like I only know the bare bones and that there is a curriculum, and I think they still have to do certain tests. Like the state is still very much like overseeing it. And I don't think I could teach as well as a teacher. I mean, it is going to be a learning curve for me. And again, it's not that I think I can do a better job teaching. It's I just want to keep my kids safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like the government is stepping in to keep our kids safe. And so as a parent, I feel like if I have the means and I'm able to, then I should step in.
But with your hours, would you do it or would Chad do it?
We'd both do it. But what I've read as well, like the hours aren't the same. It's not a full school day.
Mm-hmm.
And it varies by age. So the younger they are, the shorter the hours. It's like a couple of hours a day, if that.
And you can do it anytime you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you set your own schedules, no, right?
And I'm totally down with that. I would just, if they are not going to be in traditional school, I would want them to be homeschooled during like traditional school hours. That way they can play with their friends when their friends are home from school. So they still have like that interaction. Because you don't want your kids doing school when the other kids are out of school, because then they're not having any interaction with other kids.
Just bring them here. Put them in the corner.
This is all the education they need.
Tommy can fit another person in the studio. He's fine.
I think it's very different than it used to be, because I know that my kid, who does go to a private school, his soccer team played a group of homeschooled soccer players last year. And we're very confident going into that game because they're homeschoolers who, by the way, beat their ass. Homeschoolers just beat their ass.
And that's the thing. I worry about robbing my kids of the experience of meeting other people and that social life. And that's a very important part of growing up. But if these teams exist and these groups of homeschool kids who can get together and do different activities exist, I know it's not the same, but at least there's something.
Hey, Melissa, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning, guys. Cassie, I will say trust your gut 100% with this. So I am homeschooling my children, and we follow a Waldorf method, Waldorf curriculum. You can follow any curriculum you want, but you have to remember these kids literally came from you, and you are their first teacher. You're already their teacher. And you teach them every single day, and they are coded, they are ingrained to learn from you. Now, does that work for every single family in every single situation? No, absolutely not. But trust your instincts on this. Homeschooling has been the best gift that I've given my children. They still have plenty of social interaction. We are part of Free Forest groups, so we meet and do nature things together. There are nature schools now where they're 100% outdoors learning, and they're usually connected very well with homeschooling families. Homeschool only requires you to do 4 hours in Georgia, 4 hours of schooling for 4 days a week. So you don't have to have a degree. I think you have to have a high school diploma, but other than that, you don't have to have any specific education yourself in homeschooling. And again, you can purchase curriculums. You can merge curriculums together. There's so much freedom, but I will tell you to research the curriculums that are offered in public and private schools, as well as what you want your children to learn and how you want your children to learn.
That was really, really helpful. Thank you.
And I think the old stereotype of like homeschool kids just don't know what they're doing as far as social goes, or they're somehow, some way, don't know how to interact with other kids. I think that's a thing of the past.
I think so, too.
Because there are so many of these programs now where everybody's hanging out.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. Now, hopefully, stuff will get fixed and I can just send them to school because I don't want to do it.
You think that's going to happen next year?
Nope.
Okay. That's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show Fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.